Forever Dog.
Warning: the following podcast may contain dystopian cookie nightmares, forced removal of elephant innards, and toxic ass foam. 2022 takes flight with Dumbo the Flying Elephant on Podcast The Ride. Welcome to Podcast The Ride, the podcast that turns 90-second rides into 90-minute episodes. I'm Scott Gardner, back in person with Jason Sheridan. Hi.
Hi, that's right.
Yeah. It's been a month to the day since the last in-person. We've done a couple, but over Zoom. So here we are. Changes everything. Worth bringing up, obviously. Mike Carlson.
Worth bringing up. Don't people love the ins and outs of the podcasting game? Yeah, we are here. It is the longest maybe break between a main feed that we've ever taken. Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if the world was better, it would have maybe felt like a nice break, wouldn't it? Right? like...
Yeah, yeah. I mean, well, you brought it up. It's, you know, you want to come in with some positive energy in 2022, and that's, you know, for any new year, you want to do that. You want to do it this year, but it's really hard to do, I'd say, under the shadow of everything that's going on. And I don't need to say it, but I'll say it. That is, of course, the closure this week of Shrek 4D
yes.
at Universal Studios
right.
Florida. It's like, how do we even... I think we should be lauded for even doing an episode at all,
yeah.
considering the circumstances. But
and I'm sorry if this is too painful for you to bring up because it's closer to home. But
yeah, I am.
The soon upon us closure of Sugar Boo and Co.
Yeah,
at Downtown yeah. Disney.
No, I know it's a rough one. The I think the dates are set. I mean, what like. I don't want to vocalize, is this where we end the podcast? But I know we've at least all thought it. I think there'd be a relief to saying, like, how do we even go on, given all of these closures on both coasts? I feel trapped.
Yeah, but you know, here's the thing, like, you're right, and I felt like we should end the podcast after Sugar Boo announced it was closing,
mm-hmm.
but...
No one would have blamed us. Not one person would have blamed
right,
us.
Right, because our spirits were so low. In case you know what we're talking about, this is a store at Downtown Disney that sells wooden signs with sayings on it. But I went into the Sugar Boo, and there was a sign that said, "My heart will go on." And it was $150. And I said, you know what? The podcast must go on.
That's right.
So,
that's right. And if they weren't reducing that price, even though it was one of their final days
yeah.
of operation, if they're going to be true to who they are right up to the end, then so yeah. do we need to be...
Is there
rise to the occasion.
Is well, there a liquidation so go. Sale going on at Sugar Boo? Should we... I haven't really been going a lot of places lately, but should we go down and see if there's any good sales? Any
well,
good
I mean, you also got to go down and check out the new stores, Pele Soccer and Love Pop, a store that sells mostly pop-up greeting cards.
Pop-up. Like, so
like a picture book, like a pop-up
little,
book.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
Little,
a child's pop-up book.
Like paper flower, pop-up paper flower.
There is now in 2022,
yeah.
in like, as we heading into year two of pandemic, now there is a Disney store that is all pop-up cards.
Well, it's the third party. They do have some Disney-themed cards.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Pele Soccer, of course, has... Pele stuff and also soccer memorabilia and jerseys and
it's
everything
him,
you
like
want.
It's his brand of
it's
the great Pele.
It's the corporate entity Pele. It's the whatever you want to call it Pele. I think this is that was the most rosy theme park news I had seen in a while. Like, oh, very odd, very specific stores returning to Downtown Disney. Maybe nature is healing.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, like micro-targeted, oddly like more specific than would be at a regular mall or shopping center.
Yeah.
Like who would ever... It does... The pop-up card place harkens back to like an all wind-up toy store at City Walk. Or the, you know, it's not gone, but the sock store.
Yeah.
I feel like sometimes when I see a Sephora, I feel like they've lost their mission of stores that you would assume don't exist, shouldn't exist. And why would they?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want fridge magnets and bottle openers and nothing else.
I just like, I wish Pele was involved in more of the stores down at Downtown Disney.
Oh, Pele's Jamba.
Yeah. Why not?
Pele's.
I'm glad to see that. It's the man, Pele, we're talking about, right? The soccer player. Yeah. So I'd like to see him get out there with more like endorsements and more, I don't know, got to get his brand up. Does he have, let me ask this question, a celebrity liquor? Does Pele have a celebrity liquor?
I don't know.
Offhand.
Okay.
He might be a clean living athlete who does not, who thinks that liquor would get in the way of great soccer skills.
Okay. Well, we'll look it up and maybe we'll suggest it to him on his website if he has a suggestions email.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate that you're striving for more, but you know, that Pele has finally come to Downtown Disney and then you're just like,
you're right.
More Pele.
You're right.
You got to appreciate Pele landing.
I'm greedy. I wish Scottie Pippen would come to Downtown Disney because he has a celebrity liquor. He has a celebrity endorsed popcorn. And I wish he would come down and do something with Disney. But I don't know what it is. I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But we can talk about that later.
Not you just feel like it'd be a good zone for him.
Well, he's really ramped it up in the last couple of years. So I feel like restaurant store is next for him and for the brand.
Mm-hmm. So to play on the ultimate stage, to play in the ultimate arena, I guess you would say,
that is
Downtown Disney.
That is the ultimate arena. Yes, I would say that. And of course, I still have a bottle of Digits, his bourbon. I have not opened yet. It's going to be saved for a special occasion.
Mm.
So I've transitioned out of liking Casamigos to exclusively liking Digits.
Despite having not opened a bottle.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
The mere notion of Digits.
Yeah. Bye-bye, Randy. Hello, Scotty. That's the way I feel.
Hey, no complaints from me.
Yeah.
I'm loving it. Well, now I've never felt better about 2022.
2022 is different. There's a lot of different change. I mean, if everyone wants to declare how they're going to be different going forward in this year, I think this is the time to do it before we dive into Dumbo. Jason, what do you think?
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't really given that much thought.
Okay, so you're going to be the same. Got it, Scott.
Yeah.
Exactly the same. Perfect. No notes. Let me see. I don't know. I say this, and I think I might immediately take it back, but like, do I need to be more open-minded to generic radio music of the 90s and 2000s? This is what I feel like is it's come up a lot. I don't know if it's becoming a wedge. I slap these things down, the Green Days and the Brian Setzers, and am I missing many musical marvels by not pursuing these discographies of things that are played at supermarkets all the time?
I don't know. I mean, you have to answer that question for yourself. Is it funny to me now that Brian Setzer is a villain on this podcast? It's hilarious to me. I love it. I love that you hate Brian Setzer.
And this was a second gate development, potentially, if you missed this.
I think about it every other day. I go, Scott hates Brian Setzer, and I giggle. It makes me laugh so much.
I didn't want to add to the episode that we just did on the second gate, which was about an Incredibles ice show, if you didn't hear it. And we also met a new friend named, not the opposite of an enemy, a new hero on the podcast named Jay Bigga.
Of course.
So check that out at patreon.com/podcasttheride. But over there recently, yeah, there was some Brian Setzer discussion because he was in the Country Bears movie. And I didn't want to bring it up, but I was, the thing that inspired that Incredibles ice show episode, there was the 2005 Very Merry Christmas Parade features Brian Setzer. At the beginning, they open it. I didn't want to open that can of worms, but since we've opened the Setzer can of worms now, he opens up the parade, him and the whole orchestra, of course. He does Jingle Bells and changes the lyrics to be, oh, what fun it is to ride in a 57 Chevrolet. And you know, here I am saying I was going to be more open-minded, but I did, when I heard that, when I watched the video of that, and then like his whole horn section go like, hey, I was like, Mike, Jason, tell me this is good. Look me in the eye and tell me that you like that.
I'd have to watch the video. I have to see it.
Yes, I've already tainted the description of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Offhand, though, I mean, you laughed, but is that a mocking laugh? Is it a, or is it a laugh of you? If you were at the concert, would you go, ha ha?
Well,
oh, Brian, problem, you're incorrigible.
It's so tainted by now, though. This is the problem because you've tainted it with this disgust. So I feel like I wouldn't even, maybe I would have been like, oh, it's kind of annoying or that's stupid or whatever. But now when I see it, I can't help but think of the anger toward it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think I'll ever be able to completely assess it. Because it was, I never owned a Brian Setzer album. I've never, like, all I said was I do like the song he does in the Country Bear movie.
Mm-hmm.
That's really all I've actually, and I liked what the single he had. What was it? I don't like the Stray Cats one as much as the 90s single that he had with the orchestra. What am I?
Jump, Drive, and Jump Whale.
Thank you. I did like it at the time. I don't listen to it now. So so it's never going to be possible for me not to watch it and laugh. So now it's actually, you've made it better for me. You've made all these performances better.
This is, I know. I knew this is where it was going. That, like, what now what happened? Because I've registered my dislike, now cut to Mike and Jason going full force on Brian Setzer out of nowhere.
This is a troll.
As a spite listen
this is
situation.
A, yeah, you. I will be, I mean, in full disclosure, like, depending on what you're shitting on, there are, like, Green Day, I did have, like, a lot of affection for.
Mm-hmm.
And I do when I say, I mean, I know it's
that
funny.
That one makes more sense to me.
Talk about it.
And you're, they're in my reconciliatory 2022. Yeah, I do get it. I get it. It's not for me.
But Setzer, I don't have much affection for or disdain for. But yes, if it comes up on the show, it is 100% an attempt to get a rise out of you. Yes.
Sure, yes, yeah.
There's no way around it, yeah.
Understood. Jason, you've been awfully silent on this matter, though.
Well, in terms of what I would like to hear and what I like, I think I liked Brian Setzer Orchestra when they were leaning more towards the, like, Dorsey Brothers than the rockabilly stuff.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Like, I'm really more towards the Dorsey Brothers.
The actual, like, big band. Like,
you referenced something I have no reference point for.
You're talking about, like, Basie's orchestra?
Yeah, yeah.
You're talking
about, like... I saw them, I first learned about them from Conan. The Brian Setzer Orchestra was on Conan, and they all had, like, tuxedos on or white dinner jackets on, and they were doing, like, In the Mood. You know, just a straight cover of, like,
yeah,
an
I don't
old
know
this, standard.
I don't know what song you're talking about.
And I just
about.
Like that. I just like old music.
I played In the Mood in eighth grade.
Wait, hum In the Mood. What's In the Mood?
Oh,
that's In the Mood. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I know that. Yes. Okay. Yeah, I know the title.
And I just liked old music because it was in, I liked old movies. So, like, and that's where I got to it, and I would find his CDs at, like, used record stores.
So you had the CDs.
They were available. I had one or two of the, like, Setzer Orchestra CDs.
So when Jason brings it up, it's not necessarily 100% troll.
Yeah. Yes.
No. But, like, anytime anyone has, like, a very visceral reaction to anything on the show, the others, like, jump onto
it. Well, yes, of course.
There is a potential episode topic floating around the other day where you're like, guys, this one's real bad, and you gave a specific, and I'm like, you are making me want to watch it so much more.
Oh,
like,
I
you
see.
Are making
yeah,
me.
Yeah. No, the other, yes, everyone else becomes a vulture all of a sudden.
Yeah.
No, I smell blood.
That's good podcasting, is sadly is the problem. Is
and
that,
then I started getting marketing material of, like, for your consideration. And I'm like, well, if I'm already considering it, may as well podcast it as well.
That, to the movie you're thinking about, I just heard Jim Hill talk about it.
Really?
I was just listening to Jim Hill talk about the same.
Well, if he's talking
so
about it.
So if he's talking about it, we got to talk about it.
America's talking about it.
Yeah. So,
okay. Well, I just wanted to know, like, where the traps might be and where this could potentially be going. And
probably
look, if you end up suddenly all nine albums deep into, you're always playing Brian Setzer in the car, Lindsay and Jane are like, what's happening? Why is this
I'm
gonna
on? I'm
going
to have to listen to a few.
It's nothing but big band with you from now. Look, it's a whole thing. It started as a spite thing with Scott, but now, what can I say? I love the BSO.
Big band.
They remind me of the Dorseys. BSO.
If I get into big band revival music in 2022, it's not out of the question. It's not impossible.
I have actual, like, big band compilations, like, in my iTunes. So, like, when my Bluetooth, my car connects to my phone, usually when I drive, I listen to podcasts, but if it, this is just auto defaults to music, and sometimes it will just default to whatever's in the iTunes library.
Jason's head.
Well, I guess we're listening
today.
we're listening to Bunny Bear again while we drive to In-N-Out Burger.
Oh man, we got to do an old timey big band Patreon episode.
By the end of 2022, I think maybe not spurred not just by Scott's spite, but also by being hopefully by then excited to be in bigger groups of people. I think it's the Mike Carlson and Jason Sheridan orchestra. I think you guys start an orchestra.
Okay.
Yeah. I think you can have one without being a master of one of the instruments yourselves.
Well, I play trumpet, so I am.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll take a trumpet solo.
And I'll just do banter. Uh-huh. I'll have like a lazy conductor's wand and I'll turn around a lot and mug to the audience and in between songs like, well, that was a real humdinger.
Oh, wow.
We got another ditty coming up for you folks.
Well, there's more big band to come.
Let's just start building the stands. Start building the MCJSO.
Okay.
So just like, even though, like, I don't know, maybe it's cart before the horse, but I say start building them even before you get the musicians, because you got to get those looking nice and polished. So
right.
Find a carpenter or start building them yourselves, and before you know it, you'll be doing shows.
God, that sounds good.
Yeah, yeah.
Coming soon.
All different world at the end of the year. What's this episode about again?
It's about Dumbo, about Dumbo the Flying Elephant.
It's about Dumbo.
Dumbo, yeah.
The beloved attraction. The beloved attraction, which I saw referenced as the only one at all six castle parks.
Mm-hmm.
Or one of the few, other websites saying one of the few attractions at all six castle parks.
It's on every
parks.
Property. It's on every theme park property.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a basic, it's a tenant, it's a tent pole.
The most iconic ride?
Maybe.
That's what I think you gotta ask those kind of questions, because, and if we took our time getting to it at the beginning, some of it might be, at the end of the day, it's a ride that just goes round and round, right? The ride itself is that.
Yeah.
However, I think there's bigger stuff here. I think it functions as a symbol. I think it's important in the history and the legacy.
Yeah.
It's bigger than itself.
Oh my
gosh.
It is
bigger than itself. Yeah, I think it's one of the ones like Space Mountain or Haunted Mansion where it is shorthand for like theme parks. Certainly shorthand for like Disney parks, but shorthand for theme parks at large, and also copied everywhere. Like,
yeah,
duplicate it at traveling carnivals, at regional amusement parks, at fairs, you know.
Yeah, sitting in. Are you okay? Jason, is something's wrong, but I want to imagine it's because you're getting
emotional.
Oh, I'm
fine. I'm just coffee repeating on me.
Oh, yeah. I was hoping you were crying about Dumbo because that's a good, also good podcasting is if we can get one of us to cry.
I mean, Dumbo the movie, by the way, is there's another thing that's evolved far beyond. The movie, the sad kind of nightmarish animated film, which will come up later, that there is more movie stuff tied into one version of this ride.
Yeah, I did a rewatch of the movie in prep for this, partially because it is short. I think I can handle a 65 minute. You know, sometimes you get the question, I'm sure you guys do, or, you know, as people are trying to figure out what is this theme park interest that these people I know have? Or does that mean, so are you into the Disney movies? Is that a part of this? And I will tend to say no. That would have been my answer in a soft way before. Mm. But having reflected on movies like Peter Pan, Pinocchio, and now Dumbo, I might say specifically I don't like the movies, or at least these movies, right? Like, Dumbo is just unrelenting, I feel. Maybe you guys haven't done it in a little bit.
Well, it's I haven't done it real recently, but the sadness and the bleakness of Dumbo, as a kid, I didn't like I liked Dumbo the character, but I don't think I was ever begging to watch Dumbo over and over again.
It's like almost what you want is a Dumbo 2, which maybe, I don't think they did that in straight to video times. I think there were maybe plans in Walt era of another Dumbo that didn't happen.
Right.
But what you want is like that to be the miserable backstory.
Yeah.
That all is a prequel that you can ignore if you don't want to be upset. And now you go on a brand new adventure with Dumbo that is 90% flying, 0% crows, 0% scary clowns, making him dive from 1,000 feet in the air. Let's strip all that out, and it's just our friend flying around. It's what you want is a movie that's like the ride, I feel.
Yes, you do. Simple.
100% flying and happiness.
You want Dumbo Quest for the Magic Feather.
Yeah.
The feather gets
make
lost.
Jason, could you make the title a little longer?
Dumbo returns, : quest for the magic feather. It could be longer.
In Featherland, maybe?
In the journey to the rescue of
that. That is right. That's yeah. good. Journey yeah. to the rescue of the of phantom the
rescue
feather.
Of the mists of the magic feather. The
Dumbo and Timothy in
that. Okay,
the
great.
Quest for the magic feather. Yep,
that's mm-hmm. good. Dumbo and Timothy in the quest for the whatever feather.
Yes.
Folks, Michael here. Eating well is hard sometimes, but that's where Factor Meals comes in. Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to go in just 2 minutes. They've got 35 different options to choose from each week. So what are you waiting for? Get started today. Get after your goals. I've been getting after my goals. I had some creamy Parmesan chicken. It was delicious. I made it and I felt smart for doing it. A great thing about Factor is that it's flexible for your schedule. You get as much or as little as you need by choosing your meals every week. Head to factormeals.com/podcastride50 and use code podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code podcastride50 at factormeals.com/podcastride50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Do it.
Yeah, I will give them credit. That song, Baby Mine, is, I think, a very beautiful song, but also maybe the saddest song ever made.
yeah. I discovered that during, I want to say peak pandemic, but who knows at this point. During pandemic 1.0, when Disney was doing all these specials that were like sing-along from home, that Katy Perry sang Baby Mine in full Dumbo wardrobe with her little dog, who was also in Dumbo wardrobe.
But not to a baby. Not she had just had a baby and did it.
I don't believe so. In this case, no. I think this was a dog dressed as a little elephant.
By the way, have you guys seen any clips? She's doing residency in Las Vegas.
Oh, Jason.
Okay, all right, I'll save it. Never mind.
Wait, can I spoiler alert a little bit of it for the audience? It's got to be the one.
It's got to be the thing.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay.
She's doing California Girls, and there's a giant toilet with a talking shit.
Yes, she rises out, and then a turd rises out.
She climbs up on some toilet paper. She like twerks at the audience, and then she climbs up on the top of the toilet paper, and then she's singing with this giant turd. And I'm like, wow, how fast can I get to this show?
Wow. I saw her in Vegas. It was a tour, not a Vegas residency, but there was a long, the song was Swish Swish, which had kind of a basketball veneer, and mm-hmm. she just did a long basketball shooting contest with a dad from the audience as the music just kind of just like simmered for a while. And then I swear like 15 minutes, it took forever to get the results of the dunks or the shots in, but it was great. It felt like we're watching Double Dare Live.
Well,
or
that's
something.
Fun.
Yeah. I mean, Katy Perry's maybe a little theme parky.
From the pictures of this nonsense show, it's,
The set is amazing.
The set's amazing. It like changes a lot too. I sent both of you guys a link. We just had to talk about Baby Mine, and if you want to talk covers of Baby Mine, there's nothing better. And I hate to go to classic rock again because I guess it's classic at this point, but nothing is more terrifying than the image of this man singing Baby Mine, I think holding his own son on stage.
I don't have it yet. Who is it?
Jason, it's, you have it.
Professional wrestling promoter Billy Corgan. He's doing Baby of Mine at the Wells Fargo Center in Philadelphia. Oh.
And he's wearing a circus ringmaster jacket. He's got black makeup on his eyes. He's holding a baby. And then he sings Baby Mine. I mean, it's so sinister. Jimmy Chamberlain playing the mandolin behind him.
I do like that we've classified Smashing Pumpkins as classic rock because Billy Corgan is, 88 years old?
Well, you got to like throw the Foo Fighters and Smashing Pumpkins at this point because it's like 25 years at least at this point. It's, mm-hmm. It is classic rock.
Yeah, Pearl Jam. I've heard Pearl Jam on like classic rock stations at this point. So. And
yeah,
Nirvana.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sadly.
So the song resonates beyond that you could pull out of it, but otherwise maybe we want to bail on the majority. I want to bail on the majority. Okay. Of Dumbo. I kind of forgot that there was such a clown element to it too. I'm never mm-hmm. happy about that. I forgot that that's why Dumbo has the hat.
Right.
Is that it's initially part of a clown costume as they make him perform terribly dangerous stunts, diving off a building on fire.
Jeez, yeah.
And then you've got the horrible element of Dumbo also, where the clowns are apparently, because at one point the clowns say, hey, we gotta go threaten a strike, let's go get a raise from the boss or else we're gonna strike, and apparently that was Disney himself taking a jab uh-huh. at the then striking
of
animators.
Course. Had to
and
get
the
it
specific
in.
Clown who there is a silhouette of is a specific animator. I don't know who. I couldn't tell you who.
Is it the guy who animated Goofy? Like he was one of the big union leaders, I believe, and was always butting heads with him.
Oh, okay. What a fool.
Yeah.
Disney got his.
Dumb. Yeah.
Yikes.
Really stuck it to that little guy.
Literal clown.
Great job, Walt. the movie itself, I realize now, holds it's in the same spot in my head to Follow That Bird is because of the similar things that happen to the characters.
Sad makeup, trapped in cages. Yep. Yeah. It's like a movie that's all the sad bird, the blue bird part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Dumbo was not in heavy rotation, but Pan was as a child, mm-hmm, for sure. Mm-hmm. I loved Pan as a kid.
I think now that I think the issue with all of these, I was okay with them being around when I was a kid because there weren't that many movies.
That's
that is
true.
Way more movies. We don't need to do these anymore. I'm starting this. I got a kid. He's not going to see any of these.
Wow,
no,
Scott's
they're not,
Disney.
They're not coming on.
Could you do? You should release your own Disney. Like, what do they call the collection from the vault? Like the diamond. What are they? Are they calling it anything anymore? They used to call it the diamond collection, but you should pare it down to what you like in the diamond collection.
Oh,
so you
sure.
should say this is out, this is in, this is out, mm-hmm. and see how many are left.
Sure. Well, I don't know if it's. Mainly if it's got the primary thing, if it has a little boy who wants to be a little boy forever, then my little boy doesn't get to see it. I don't want you learning this perversity.
Well, so what about Boss? I mean, it seems like in the Boss Baby sequel, he's an adult who has to return to being a baby again.
That's
what the trailers have led me to believe. The only Boss Baby content I've really consumed, by the way, is Jane got me the Boss Baby cameo for Christmas, where the Boss Baby wishes you happy holidays.
So,
where it's like whoosh, it's like the birthday boy's sketch whoosh, where it's like a video.
I would like to put down the rules for the Scott Diamond Disney collection that you can put Boss Baby into it, even though it's not a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm.
So you can add movies to Disney's Diamond collection despite them not being produced by Disney.
I can still pull them into it.
Yeah, because you're the one obviously
on it.
Going through this now with the child where you are going to see these movies and decide, so you can curate your own.
Yeah. Selection. I think I'm less concerned with what's in the vault and more concerned with the vault itself and making sure that it's unopenable.
Okay.
It is. There's that you have to get retina scanned and provide a drop of blood. Like, there's got to be so many layers to make sure that you never see.
You're
Peter
describing
Pan.
A nuclear waste site where, like, they put up those signs that are meant to last 1,000 years that say, like, this is not a place of honor. This is, do not go here.
What if it's like school movie day and it's like you didn't catch wind that they were going to show a Peter Pan Disney? Are you going to like pick at the school afterward?
Yeah, I think I'm throwing a fit as if they were like whatever people do that is reacting to whatever they think critical race theory is.
Right.
That's what I don't want critical Pan theory taught in schools.
Okay.
This is my biggest issue as a parent.
You'll be at a school board meetings like crying your eyes out. Like, don't show the children Pan. You don't know what it does to them.
Like,
little green unitards destroy little brains.
Boys shouldn't be lost. Like, they shouldn't be lost.
Like Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot, you will be going, we will not relent on this. Which is great. When you find yourself saying to teachers, we will not relent, you're the good guy. You're definitely the hero of the story.
Yes. Yeah, always.
Yeah.
Yeah, famously villainous teachers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The man.
Overpaid.
As they've always have been. Okay, yeah. Look, it's all out. These are out. But what Dumbo did succeed in doing, I think, like I think in the history of the animation studio, it was a success for its budget. It didn't have the issues that Fantasia had and I think Pinocchio, like budget overruns. It worked, and I think set up Disney for success, even though then after Dumbo they made all those weird like war compilation yeah. movies. Like Save then them. We're not exactly cruising in terms of like quality yeah. movies yet. Yes. But
interesting fact about Dumbo, 6 weeks later Pearl Harbor is bombed. That wow. is the timeline. Like I, you know, in the way the history just gets so condensed, it didn't occur to me that like, oh, I was supposed to go see Dumbo today, but I'm waiting to hear what the president has to say about the Japanese attack on the Pearl Harbor base.
Well, pulled off of the Time cover. That's the fact about that. That Dumbo was supposed to be on the cover of Time, and then Pearl Harbor happened, and
wow.
was replaced by General MacArthur.
Wow, wow, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What a time. I guess history can't be worse and weirder than it is now. So, yeah. Well, anyway, point is, big popular character. When they start mm-hmm. conceiving Disneyland, we have to have big popular characters front and center, and this is a big one. So it's not an opening day attraction. Because although, well, now I've seen several things about this. It is credited as opening a month later, August 1955, because there were issues with the elephants being too heavy.
Yeah, construction issues. I saw that too. At all the other parks, it is an opening day attraction at Disney World, Tokyo Disneyland, Euro Disneyland, Hong Kong Disneyland, and Shanghai.
Yeah,
Disneyland.
Yeah. Always big major opening day thing. I think it was supposed to be for Disneyland. I read a little bit of stuff that if you watch the opening day special, and I went and checked on this, when the kids are all running and almost injuring themselves and everyone around them to get to the Fantasyland rides in that special, apparently Dumbo's in it. There was a Dumbo, one of the most terrifying original costumes, like a freak of nature. Yeah. If you look at that black and white photo, Dumbo apparently runs up like into the direction of the Dumbo ride, but the camera stopped short. They don't show it yet because they were still having trouble. Now, I've also seen that they did attempt to run it on opening day, and that it resulted in the ride stopping really quickly and people having to be rescued with ladders. Suddenly, step ladders come out, and it was just a rough month until the thing could actually get going. Some of the issue of what happened here, and I never knew this till doing all the research, that the ears were supposed to flap.
Yes.
That's a weird thing. And then apparently for a decade or so before they did a switch out, the ears still were on a little swivel point.
Yeah.
Like it was like if they had figured it out and gotten the mechanism mm-hmm. working, the ears could be flapping. But then around the mid-60s, they said, screw it, that's never happening. And then they just replaced them with unflappable ears.
Right. And there was no time when the ears were just like twitching oddly or anything, or like they weren't flapping. They were just, it seemed like something was wrong with them.
I got a thing. I mean, Dumbo, it's funny because I feel like every generation, it's so iconic, it's kind of glued in every generation, but it's changed so many times. It's moved locations, they've changed the mechanisms, they've painted the elephants, like they've done
the
all
cues,
of these changes.
They've doubled it, yeah, there's a lot of different things.
Probably a lot of changes, you know, considering the simplicity of it. So once they got rid of the mechanism that made the ears flap, which took the vehicles down from 800 to 700 pounds. So now it was a little easier to get them up in the air. Still a little dicey, apparently, at the beginning. And still, there was a problem that lasted for the first couple years of running it. This is from the Disney History Institute that goes into that company Aero that built a lot of those early rides.
Yeah.
This was an issue that they had when starting to run this thing. On the advice of a NASA engineer, the Aero team used a combination of oil and nitrogen in the hydraulic system for this ride for added power. When they asked Ed Morgan, one of the owners of Aero, about this process, he explained that So oil and nitrogen combined helped the ride run and gave it the power that it needed, but it also created a weird foam. Like a foam would bubble up from the center of the ride or under the elephants. I'm not exactly sure where the foam. Anyway, it would run, and in front of guests, there would be a weird foam. And there's a photo you can look up, I think, of this guy, one of these classic, Fred Mertz kind of guys.
Short sleeve, roll up his sleeve.
All right, and he had to go remove the foam many times per day. Sometimes as often as between every ride cycle. What? Dumbo's down. Got to go take this weird foam at this nitrogen.
Wipe
foam
the foam off of this elephant.
And the Aero people called this process milking Dumbo. That was just part of the reality of Dumbo. Is you had to milk him.
So it seems like that would suggest it's on his undercarriage somewhere.
Yeah, possibly. Yeah. If it's him, which is very. Right. I mean, if it's not at that center point, if it's somewhere in the like, if every single Dumbo is sprouting weird foam, and does the foam ever, because the ride's up in the air and it's
would spin, spray?
Like, is it
yeah.
ever? Yeah. Is it ever?
It's like a Dumbo foam party going on.
Yeah.
Also, it does sound fun.
If it was out of his trunk, it would be awesome.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
That would have been a happy accident, and they would have just kept that going.
Is the foam toxic? Yes, but
the idea
of it is fun.
Oil.
All the parents standing around, if they're not riding, just smoking cigarettes. Hell, some probably smoking cigarettes on the ride. It's just like foam, just like little mini fireworks displays from airborne foam catching fire from like long Lucky Strikes, long Virginia
Cruella
Slims.
DeVille,
yeah, Cruella DeVille.
Penguin style.
Hunter Thompson kind of cigarette holders just causing fires.
So yeah, I mean, obviously coming out of the trunk, that would be good. Obviously anywhere else, probably a little, little weird. Mouth, Dumbo's rabid, not good.
Yeah.
Dumbo's shitting foam, not good.
Just confusing.
Yeah.
I mean, upsetting that anything's coming out of his butt, but also what makes you foam at the butt? Not something that you want to happen to you.
Some sort of new disease from something that'll happen in a few years, I think. Probably.
That's, well, Deltacron, unfortunately. The combo.
Oh, it makes you foam out of your butt.
Yeah, foam out of your ass.
Yeah.
That's
otherwise, fine. You actually don't have to social distance anymore. You just might have to apologize for all the foam coming out of your ass.
Excuse me, I have to excuse myself to the bathroom. I'm foamy today. Feeling a little foamy.
I'm going to go milk myself.
The weirdest fact about the early days of Dumbo I saw was that, because, you know, there's that kind of Disney rule that, like, well, you can't have 5 Mickeys or 10 Mickeys in one room. There's one Mickey.
Mm.
But the original, so that idea applied to the original Dumbo. So there's only one Dumbo. So it was going to, the elephants that everyone would ride in, you know, now 16 was 10, were painted pink. Like the hallucination elephants from Dumbo's drunken revelry.
Yeah. And because there's many pink elephants in the pink elephants on parade sequence, so that they had to justify that. This again, when they're making up these rules. So you have these rides where Snow White can't be in the Snow White ride because you're Snow White. All these things that they had to learn that nobody's thinking about them.
Yeah.
And that they're thinking too hard.
Right.
But it makes it an extremely different ride if it is part of the psychedelic sequence that, by the way, comes from champagne mixed with water.
Yes.
Slightly champagne-y water causes Dumbo to trip. And the mouse, too.
Right.
Timothy.
Yeah.
They're both in on it.
Very much a gag of its time, but like as a theme park ride that would last forever. Like, they're like, we are essentially like, we're condoning, like, hey, kids, when you get a little older, you're going to see the pink elephants. You know?
The pink elephants are more fun than like Pleasure Island.
They are more fun. But that, I think I probably mentioned on the Pinocchio episode, that high diddle DD and Actor's Life for me, I think that is actually what Walt thought of Act. Like, you're frivolous.
Well, except for Kurt Russell's Sam Plachette. Annette.
The Special Six. Yeah, the Special Six.
They were their own team, yeah.
Yeah.
Fred McMurray, right? He was in one of them.
Harvey Korman, no fool. The rest fools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The ride was even going to be called 10 Pink Elephants on Parade. That was the actual title. And I didn't know that they were so committed to this that in the lead up to Disneyland opening, I actually didn't know any of this before, that they were starting to do the promotional blitz, making people aware. It's funny just that like there was ever a time. Now they'll promote a new ride, but it's funny that at one point they had to promote Disneyland entirely.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everyone, Disneyland is coming.
Yeah.
And there was a Thanksgiving parade in Detroit, Michigan, and then the Rose Parade in Pasadena in January 1955. Mm-hmm. That both of these parades had floats involving pink elephants spinning around. That was the only ride that they depicted. So this was the main way they were putting their foot forward. Come to Disneyland, where there is a spinning ride based on the pink elephants,
mm-hmm.
and then like a trailer that has a scene that then is not in the film.
Mm-hmm.
You got there and there were no pink elephants.
It's almost like a curse. Like I feel like when they were promoting Star Wars Galaxy's Edge, they're like, and we have a groundbreaking brand new ride, nothing like it. And it's like, if you come out with that ride out front, like that ride's getting delayed.
yeah mm-hmm. Just can't. Or all those, you know, any that the Harry Anderson special where he promotes all of those things that never
got the entire
I don't think one of them. Just like the thing after thing after thing.
Yeah, I feel like Universal actually may these days have it right, where they just like start building and everyone like pretty much knows what it is, but they don't even say it. And then like 6 months before maybe or less, they go, oh, by the way, it is that thing you thought it was.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they keep doing that. Velocicoaster and Mario, they just sort of don't acknowledge.
Yeah, they kind of, I think, at Hollywood have announced, kind of acknowledged. Yeah,
there's a
Mario now.
Construction coming. Wall. They're on the.
And it says the, like, that now.
Coming soon.
But, like for a year or something, it was like being built without confirmation. Yeah.
This is what I do in my life to possibly a crazy degree. I try to not speak about anything. That's why I told as few people as I could about the baby. Let's make sure it happens.
Sure.
No, well, yeah.
You have to manage expectations for everything because life is full of disappointment and pain.
Yeah.
That's just the reality.
I do think Universal is, I haven't watched it yet, but there's that making of Velocicoaster that they uploaded to Peacock.
Yeah.
And it's like, that is smart because I feel like Disney has scaled back on those kinds of specials.
Oh, it's, and throw it on. You will really enjoy it. It is like wonderfully flat. I say this as a compliment that it is not. I think Disney now would try to dress it up and do like sketches and a bunch of crap you don't need and musical numbers. It is just like you know, just people talking. Just and then we did the like Mario Lopez being inoffensive.
That's great. A lot of parks. Universal did it with, I think, Velocicoaster, maybe Hagrid's, but I think it was Holiday World when we were talking about some of the Sally Dark rides. More parks, too, have started on their YouTube channels, like strapping a GoPro in a ride vehicle and recording the whole ride and putting it up on their own YouTube channel. And I'm like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Do that, please.
Yeah. There's no reason to not, like, spoil. Like, I guess, I think the only rides you wouldn't want to spoil is if there really is a thing at the end where you don't want to reveal how it's done or that there's anticipation on that first ride. But if it's a, you know, if it's a roller coaster or a ride,
well, especially roller coaster around,
spoilers don't necessarily factor.
Are you guys Mario Kart fresh? Are you fresh still?
I have not watched it.
I don't know.
I'm fresh too. I have not seen a single frame of video. I've seen like a photo accidentally, but I have not watched the video.
I have avoided. I've seen the queue, seen that big Bowser, but I don't really know. And I imagine you can't capture it very well anyway,
right?
Given the goggles.
Yeah.
But this is, I think, a big thing about Dumbo and something that they figured out, maybe with this ride more than any, is what you're saying about let's just show the whole ride and post a nice video of it. I think the promotion abilities of it, just like I think with Dumbo, they created something Instagrammable before Instagram.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's probably the thing that people came back from Disneyland with is a picture of me on the, it's me sitting in Dumbo or my kids sitting in Dumbo or my friends sitting in Dumbo. And then there's, you know, pictures of notable people through the years on it. I think, like, I feel like maybe Dumbo did a lot of heavy lifting.
For sure. I mean, it's obviously, and then there's some practical reasons for it, just because it's like, it's easy to take a photo of somebody in the ride vehicle when you're outside of it. That's part of it.
Yep.
Yes. Like, you would maybe consider the teacups equally iconic, a silly thing. You get to sit in a big teacup, right, or you get to sit in an elephant, but harder to take photos of.
Yes.
You feel more rushed when you're getting on that thing, like it's going to start moving, so I better strap in.
Well, this, everyone so,
and then everyone can go on it.
Yeah, everyone can go on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even your biggest scaredy cats can go on it and not make it go up that high.
Yeah. Let's talk about that aspect of it, because I don't know this, if other rides of this nature, which, by the way, like, my temptation would be to call it a spinner ride,
and yes,
call
right.
it other things similarly a spinner ride, but apparently the term is aerial carousel.
Right.
A term I will not ever use because it's clunky, and I don't think even
aerial carousel. Feel right.
What I want to throw out is the term is round and round. It's a round and round.
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, that's cute. Aerial carousel is strangely beautiful, but it feels like...
The aerial carousel.
Very elegant. It feels like too much.
Too beautiful, you know, to
too
say.
Beautiful.
Yeah,
like baby, baby mine. I don't want to hear it all the time.
It's a fragile phrase. Yeah. We all got a little wistful just hearing those words.
Aerial carousel.
Let's not do that to ourselves. It's it's a round and round. What was my point? Oh, the ability to control the vehicle. I don't know if Disney did that first or if that was an ability that other rides like this had already, but I think that's key to its success. The feeling that, for a kid especially, that they can control it, they can do it to their liking, and it's not an interactive ride to the degree that other things have been interactive rides, but it does it does guarantee that you can have a slightly different experience every time you do it.
I'm trying to remember, I mean, it was a local park. I'm trying to remember what the first one of what my first round and around was, but I definitely had the same element of controlling it, and that as a kid especially, you're like, wow, like this, because you can't drive a car yet, you know. There's a talk of Tony Baxter always says a transformational experience of blah blah blah. I made it look sound stupid there, that's not what I meant, but like driving on the Autopia or something, but like controlling a vehicle and movement is a big deal as a kid, because you see adults doing it. So it always felt like I have such power now.
Yeah.
Like, look, the power. I was also scared of it and would often not go very high because I was initially pretty freaked out by this and still kind of a little unnerved going on it, to be honest.
Okay. Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I guess, well, yeah, our relationship with it today is maybe a question.
Yeah.
How often do you go on Dumbo?
Not very often.
No. No. Jason?
Yeah, once in a blue moon, maybe.
I think every couple of years I go on.
Yeah. Of course, went all the way up. Like DJ Khaled, I went all the way up as a kid. Like, I wanted to be a high up.
Well, you're the hype miser.
And I also wanted to be the movement of going up and down. I wanted to go high up, and then I wanted to go back down, and then up. So I'm like...
I hate to completely derail you on this real quick, but I just had a thought. There's something I thought of over our last few weeks. If I have a bachelor party in Las Vegas, will you jump off the stratosphere?
Oh, that's a good that's a good question. Whoa. I mean, I think we have to judge what the other activities will be. Like, what else are we doing, you know? Because if we're going to have a big meal right beforehand, I probably wouldn't.
Well,
but it's going to require some planning, some booking.
Yeah. But you're open to the idea of it.
I am open to the idea. I'm not opposed to the idea.
Okay, great.
You have to figure out how many times we're going to watch I Lost My M in Vegas, the 3D movie at the M&M store.
When will you
so,
be like...
So, like, what, making sure that we slot, you know, minimum three viewings of that.
Right, right.
You know, if we have time to hit
Stratosphere. I know. I didn't see it last time. I was staying across the street, and I considered it.
You have to see it frequently because to see how much it is faded, to see how dark the projector is.
Right.
If you only see it once every 5 years, it'll be so jarring how much it has gotten dark and blurry.
Well, and down the block now, there's an actual thing there's the fly Vegas. I forget what it's called. There's a flying theater attraction,
like a Soarin'.
Yeah, like a Soarin'. Right. Right. Two different shows in there now. Like in between a Target, underneath an Olive Garden. Next
one of those
to
weird. Yeah,
yeah. It's the block where it's like, well, the bottom floor of this is a Marshall's, and the top floor of this is a Hard Rock Cafe. Like it.
Yeah,
I kind of love it.
Little district.
Yeah, it's very confusing, but I kind of love it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, good. Thank you for confirming
I'll give it some
thought. It depends. You got to carve it out, though.
Yeah, that's fine. Sure. Obviously, like, that would be the highlight of the thing. If Jason jumped off the stratosphere.
Well, but it's your thing. Like, if that's what you want. Okay.
It is what I want.
Yeah.
Nothing would make Mike happier than you doing this.
I would jumping need to off get trial contacts because I want to be able to have crystal clear vision.
Okay.
For it.
So you have a rider.
Huh?
You have a rider for this.
Well, okay. I'm just talking about the prep I have to do.
Don't you think either way you'll be up there and wind is just flapping like crazy? Oh. I feel like vision's going to be tough no matter
if
what.
You think it's
I don't want to talk you out of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would definitely pay the upcharge for the, like, we're going to strap a camera to you.
Wow.
And so you get the video file.
Oh, we need that for content.
Yeah, we need that. 100%.
Can we do a live show at the top? Maybe it's not for the bachelor party. Maybe it's like a live show at the top of the stratosphere, and then at the end of it is you jump off.
There's all... Well, see, I think you're getting hat on hat territory now. Yeah, I think I would need time to prepare.
The stratosphere is, though, is a hat on a hat.
It is true.
Ride on top of a hat-like shape.
There's also all those rides up there.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
But you were a kid who cranked the thing up as a child.
Oh, yeah. And there was also, like, multiple, like, knockoffs at the Jersey Shore. Either elephants or spaceships or whatever. Mm-hmm. And so, like... Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think I was maybe continue to be a... up and down, like, probably primary. I make my round and round and up and down. I don't think I want to just go straight to the top and stay there. I think, like, the back and forth is fun, but maybe you don't go all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a little bit, and it's 90 seconds. You only every second counts, so I don't want to waste time all the way on the bottom. And then you got to consider, I think Dumbo's pretty smooth, but other rides of this nature, you could get kind of stuck, like if the mechanism isn't great, like on the weird Elmo one I went to.
Oh yeah,
SeaWorld. If it's not that responsive, maybe you do just want to stay all the way up at the top.
Yeah, there would be. That's interesting because I do have a memory, and I don't know where it's from again, of like where you would try to push it up, and it would take about 5 seconds for it to respond. And then that would, like, really throw me as far as, because, like, if I got too scared, then it would take a couple seconds to come down.
Mm-hmm.
And that felt like the longest ride possible. A big problem I think I have, and even when I say I'm unnerved by it, now I'm not, like, that unnerved by it, but it's on an angle. And there's still part of me, and maybe it's because I'm kind of tall, that makes me feel like, since it's on an angle, a little bump, because it's bumpy. It's not the most smooth ride still. Like, I feel like I could fly out of it a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
There's still a feeling of being prone. Like a little bit, you know, there's a seatbelt on it, but especially when you're up the highest, you're kind of tilted toward the ground. So if you're on the inside of Dumbo, it's like I'm leaning. You can feel your, like, gravity taking your body a little bit. So that's the only reason I say sometimes I feel a little bit unnerved being in it. And maybe that's why I don't go on it all the time. Also, it's mostly for children.
Sure.
There are incidents of, like, you know, the arms cracking. Or, like, stuff cry. Everyone
sure,
just kind of
yes.
scrapes and bruises and, you know, checked out and then went about their business, you know.
Well, but that not with the new... That's why they replaced it entirely.
Yeah.
Is that there were two incidents in a short amount of time. So it was, I think, the same one from 55 to 83 when they redid all of Fantasyland. Then same one from 83 to 89, and then there was an accident... And then another accident in 90, which was the arm snapping clean off.
Yeah.
And that's an accident you don't really come back from.
Right.
And so they figured maybe we need to have a new Dumbo entirely. And in a very rare circumstance, I can't imagine when this would ever happen again, they had a spare.
They had a beautiful, more innate spare.
A better one.
A better one built for Euro Disney.
Mm-hmm.
But that was going ahead of time.
Yeah, yeah. They were so early on that. So it was just sitting around. So they just patched in this new Dumbo and made a second one for Euro.
Yeah. And they water features have been added over the years. For a long time, the Magic Kingdom did not have the water, you know, fountains, didn't have the water effects because the utilidors were underneath, so they couldn't run pipes. And then when they moved Dumbo in the early 2010s, they were able to match it to all the others. They added the water.
Was that
features.
Part of moving it was to be in a spot where you could have water?
I think, and of course they duplicated it in Florida.
Yeah, so Florida, there's a little more to do. I'll say this before getting to the Florida one. I think some of what stops me from going on the Disneyland version is very long line without a lot going on. Now, they put some shade in. It's a little better than it was. But still, it's like a great thing to do with no line, which is why the last time I did it, it was in horrible rain when the park was kind of clearing out.
Yeah. But
ended up being awful. I got so soaked, so soaked waiting for it, and then it's building up water inside. It was pretty crazy. I wouldn't recommend it. But it's one of those I kind of only do with no
line. I think the last time we went on was midnight. Walked by it. Hey,
yeah, that's a good spot.
You do it. That's a, like that Dumbo as a childless adult. You go on Dumbo when you walk by and you go, hey, no line.
Yeah,
that's like the only time you do it.
Yeah, because you know what it is. You're not gonna. Nothing about this experience is going to surprise you.
Yeah,
and you can get upwards of half an hour wait on this thing. I would think maybe way more. I don't know, depending on the day.
Right.
So that's the big obstacle for me getting on it, and probably for other people, which is why in Florida they've rethought how lines work. Like, was this the first example of a virtual queue, or at least one that the first one Disney did?
Modern day Disney virtual queue.
Well, this was in 2012. It opened as part of their, you know, Fantasyland redo. It's right around the time of the rise of like interactive queues, which only lasted a few years before they're like, all right, everyone's got a phone, put stuff on their phones. I was down there in the summer of 2012 and didn't fully know what they had done. I knew they moved it and doubled it, but then like was very impressed and shocked by like the play area and the Chili's beeper.
Oh,
system.
Yeah.
Which is what it is. It's like a ticket, and like you've been invited to see Dumbo's performance. He's about to go on, and it is a ticket. Am I correct that Timothy the mouse talks to you from the beeper, or is it just a beep?
I think it just vibrates when you're like when your table's ready.
I saw a video where it's like, or maybe they have not kept this up, but where I think the intent was that there's a little Timothy sound clip. But maybe they don't. Maybe they just they bought excess from the Cheesecake Factory.
Yeah, my memory that it vibrates, but there was an announcement. So there's this big, and this is where I was referring to, like the circus stuff comes into play, because there is a massive indoor play area. And there was an announcement there in a video I watched where he's like, hello, circus performers. And it's like, wait, we're performers now? Okay.
Well, the children are. This is the idea.
Okay.
Like, you're not necessarily you. If you're crawling around in the nets, if you're going up and doing little aerial tricks, I think that is meant to be. Well, so you're like, the parents are like along the wall, maybe having a sit. But the kids are the acrobats, I think, is the notion there.
Wow, that's
now I say this having watched a video about it. You went there in person, and their subtext was maybe not conveyed, which is a frequent issue.
I think it was like 10:30 at night, and it was reasonably empty. So I was just kind of like, "Oh, this is smart. Kids love play areas." And watching the video back, I was like, "Are there kids who are just like, I don't really care about riding the ride again? I just want to go back to that play area and climb around."
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
Yeah. It seems like a good one. There's that building on fire, which I don't like in the context of it's going to hurt Dumbo.
Yeah.
But I like it in the context of a thing for kids to do.
There's clown firefighters.
Uh-huh.
There's Dumbo spinning around the ceiling, flying around the ceiling.
Good with that.
Yeah.
It seems nice. It seems like they did a good job without like a mega budget, I bet. And the idea, like creating a little experience that you get to have that's fun and fills up the time instead of you're just doing back and forth and back and forth and seeing nothing.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
There's two Dumbo. I think that's pretty cool. Why would there only need to be one? I feel like if there were not an issue of space in Disneyland or all of them, you know, they should do it in all of them.
It's trying to, and they successfully did it in Florida because they have room in Disney World to do it. Out here, they've changed the queue recently to make it a little nicer, but there's no room to do something major with it.
Right. They demolished all of Mickey's Toontown Fair. That's where a lot of this is on top of now.
Right. Yes. Right. In Florida. Yes. But yeah, there's not a lot of room unless they were to move Dumbo to like Toontown. But that's a construction war zone right now.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Which probably doesn't make sense to do it either. But I guess they were trying, they probably, I'm trying to think, like, they all the other, like, iconic Disney rides, I guess other than teacups, have a lot more themed of a line, of a themed experience, feeling like you're walking through it versus, yeah, what you're saying, Dumbo is just, like, switchback and can be very long,
yeah,
and sucks a little of the magic out of it probably waiting.
Well, so, Alice is like that too, but a very satisfying ride at the end.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you got nothing there. The other ones that you at least have a little indoor, you get to see like, you know, peaks of the dungeon.
You go in their little house kind of first before.
Yeah, that kind of keeps you
in it.
Motivated.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You need to be motivated.
Al is probably one of the best classic Disney movies. Holds up as a movie. Beautiful Mary Blair.
I have no problem with that one.
Yeah. When we did the episode, I was like, oh, I loved Alice in Wonderland as a kid. Like, I completely forgot how much I liked it or loved it.
I think it's what part of why you could maybe just bail on Dumbo entirely, because I think there's better, like, psychedelic, trippy animation in Alice and Heffalumps and Woozles. I will say I'm a big Heffalumps and Woozles fan.
What about like a Disney movie that sort of retcons out the original version? So it's like Dumbo teams up with Peter Pan. Teams up, like any of the movies you don't like, you take the character out and you combine them into like a team up movie where it's just fun.
As I said, I like Dumbo. So yeah, I mean Dumbo. Like I think, look, Peter Pan needs a wardrobe change.
Okay, fine. And he needs that's what can happen.
He needs
this version.
An attitude change.
What do you dress Peter Pan up in this version, this hypothetical version? What's he wearing?
Just a suit. Just
okay,
put him in a suit.
All right.
He can wear. That's my problem with Hook is that I think he had it right to begin with. He shouldn't have missed his kids' baseball games and everything, but he was dressed appropriately for his age. I don't want to see Robin in the unitard, yelling bangarang.
Uh-huh.
I think he should have combined aspects of his adult life with his former free spirit. So yeah, dress Peter Pan should be dressed like Banning.
Uh-oh, you got your wish, but it's one of those suits they wear in Hawaii where the pants are very short, where it's a little shorts. Goes with a blazer, blue blazer.
That's a good compromise. You have to
admit. Yeah, you got to admit that's a good compromise.
I guess I can manage that. I have to see it on paper, but
like Magna P.I.'s friend, she was always wearing those suits, I feel like.
I like that. Yes. Yeah. But again, why no, why am I more I'm more okay with it on a 70-year-old man than on a child?
Well, is on this podcast we're more comfortable with anything on a 70-year-old man.
Yeah.
That's just the
more comfortable when talking about 70-year-old.
Yes.
Where were we besides the Dumbo stuff. Expendables team of characters?
I don't want to just be cynical for the sake of being cynical, but I was like racking my brain of like, why didn't they do more queues like this for like kids rides and stuff where it's like you wait in a play area and they call you when it's your turn. And all I could come up with was like, well, it was probably a little expensive. And then also they couldn't figure out a way to monetize it. You know, they couldn't scale it to like, what can we add on to this, you know?
The answer, obviously, is to do what restaurants do and have the buzzers feature ads for local real estate agents.
The way things are going at Disney right now, I wouldn't completely put it past
some lady in a blazer with houses in La Mirada.
They've been cutting some corners on things lately.
A little bit. Yeah, yeah.
So if old Bobby can get a couple more dollars.
Space here. Yeah. Now, here's something. I knew about none of this, and I don't know if you guys did at all. This what has happened where there's the it's called the Storybook Circus area. Mm-hmm.
Yes,
the new little Dumbo zone in Florida now. there was talk in the mid-70s of a Dumbo-specific area that was the plan of Tony Baxter. Do you guys know about this?
I think, wait, maybe I don't. Say it to keep going.
Dumbo's Circus Land was the notion here. And as part of his, the whole big reroute that he wanted to do with Discovery Bay, Tony was so up on all of the expansion pads. I feel like he wanted to do stuff in what became Galaxy's Edge, and that's what Discovery Bay would have been. Mm-hmm. And he also was trying to do this little Dumbo area in what became Videopolis and then Fantasyland Theater and a little bit of Toontown. Basically, the idea here was that Fantasyland is where the cartoon characters live, the classic cartoons, but shouldn't those mostly be Regal? Doesn't it make the most sense when that space is devoted to princesses and King Arthur and all that? So what if we separate the Fantasyland ideas and kind of all the random characters who don't make sense in a kingdom? Now they just, now they've just said fuck all with all that, and Winnie the Pooh is just in Fantasyland and Magic Kingdom. That doesn't match at all. But Tony, with his wanting to make everything themed, it makes sense. He was going to build this little area, kind of, it's, as I said, like Videopolis, small world, and it would have been a circus where, so they would have moved Dumbo, that's part of it.
Right.
And then what was the ride called?
Circus Disney
is the name of it. And it would have been a ride where all of the characters they aren't using are part of the circus. So suddenly, like Baloo is not really anywhere in the parks particularly. So he's in this, all the bears, Bongo, all these things that we don't really, they aren't trying to service Bongo.
So this
anymore.
Is like Toontown before Toontown, essentially. All the whimsical toon characters are in one spot hanging out.
Yeah. And to that end, another thing would have been a Mickey attraction that would have been black and white and the vibe of the old slapstick mayhem kind of silent piano, like a ride that is taking you into the early Mickey movies. And that would have been a Wild Mouse in the dark, save for clips of the old movies.
Wow.
So it's like a crazy hijinks, like the little stunts that Mickey's doing in the early days, where you wouldn't have known where any drop is coming.
Right.
A la Space Mountain.
Called Mickey's Madhouse.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
It is good.
They've essentially done this with the Joker. We've come across this in terms of Batman rides.
Mm-hmm.
But Joker, a person who makes sense to have a madhouse or be stuck in one. Mickey, right. though.
They would have had to change the name of that, I think, at this point. But it's a fun-sounding thing. It sounds like that also sounds like kind of like Runaway Railway.
Mm-hmm.
It's like all this stuff is sort of precursor ideas.
Well, yeah, that they ended up with, like, now there is a circus tent thing. It's just not this full circus ride, but that notion of separating the circus and having a circus zone, they did. A crazy early Mickey vibe attraction, they did. One thing they didn't do, though, they were basically, like, Tony also wanted a way to, you could walk around the corner and get to that area, or he wanted there to be a way that ties together Discovery Bay with its inventors and Jules Verne and all that with the circus area. So he wanted to do something called Professor Marvel's Balloon Descent. And this was a little hot air balloon ride that's a ride in and of itself, but it's also like a second skyway, basically, that takes you up over a hill and gets you into this circus zone. But Professor Marvel is a Wizard of Oz thing, one of these Tony, I feel like he was pushing for something Oz related, and then there's the James Franco movie, and maybe this is the chance, and there's still no Oz. Anyway, there's kind of a famous photo of Tony working on the model of Discovery Bay. You might recognize this picture.
Oh, I've seen that.
Where his hands are and what he's working on is this I just don't know how I missed this for so long. But there you see balloons, and you see a new location of Dumbo and circus tents.
Yeah.
It's a little modest zone. And
I missed this. This picture looks familiar, but yeah, I didn't realize that's what this is. There's also, I'm looking at it, it says there was an unnamed Pinocchio attraction, which was a predecessor to Daring Journey, that would have included Stromboli's theater in the queue where guests could watch puppet performances while waiting to board. And who doesn't love that?
Yes, yes. Malicious puppet performances where there's a vibe. There's something off about this. Why does this puppet theater smell? Why do I hear people screaming in the back?
Mm-hmm. Tony said, they were pumping in secondhand smoke the whole time, too. That was going to make it more authentic to the film. But yeah, there's a lot of these interesting photos here.
Mm-hmm.
They all look very cool. I am imagining modern day height of summer holiday crowds trying to navigate some of these pathways.
Oh, yeah,
one of the,
sure,
thinking
yes,
about the scale so of some of these. Yeah.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have been an easy way to do it, but as a kid, I would always feel, you'd always get an extra thrill when you would see a character that was newer or more, newer or fresher from a movie immediately. So it would be nice to have something, and not that this would be it, but like Circus Disney or something, where you're like, all the characters are here that aren't in other rides. Because I want to see all of them. And that's what Marvel, that's what you got to give Marvel credit for their land, is because like, they got like weird, like Loki comes out like a day after the show premieres.
Loki in multiple outfits.
Multiple versions of Loki, the one in the jumpsuit, the regular one.
Yeah.
So like as a kid, that would be so thrilling.
Shang-Chi, the Eternals, Hawkeye, like everyone.
Yes, it seems like that's
up.
So just having a spot in Disney to like park people without rides. Would like still they still need to kind of do that. Obviously, like walk around characters is the easiest way, but
sure,
a permanent ride. Like if Robin Hood was in the park, we want to see Robin Hood.
Yeah,
you know, Robin would have
ended up in this.
Yes, I exactly.
Yeah.
We met Robin.
We met Robin Hood and the whole gang
back in the Big Thunder Ranch area. But they're not.
Oh, geez, brag.
Well, have you ever seen Robin Hood? It's very exciting.
Yeah, I guess they don't send Robin Hood.
And you
Hood,
had a Hawkeye.
They?
You had a Target shirt
on.
Probably
talked about
the David
before,
Aja Hawkeye.
Yes.
Like logo.
Years before it inspired
the show.
I like the comic book.
And they were doing like gags of like shooting arrows. Like Target. I'm going to shoot an arrow at that.
I was confused at their bit because they were like pointing at like Robin was going to shoot me. And I was like, oh, wait, what? And then he like grabbed me and like was positioning me. And I was like, what is he talking? And I went, oh, I have a Target on my shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, you forgot what you were wearing.
I forgot what I was wearing.
Yes, we all do. So Robin Hood was going to shoot you in the heart.
He was
going
to kill me. Yeah. Robin Hood was threatening to kill me. And I loved it.
Probably they can't send him out.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Wants to arrow people.
So yeah, that's a cool never
anyway,
built.
I never knew about that zone. I would love to see like all the artwork that exists. If that area was around, it might feel a little out of date now, or maybe they would have done something to it. But we look at those balloons. It would have felt so 70s. It would have felt like 70s knots, which is a compliment to me. There's a vibe to 70s knots.
That is what it's attractive. I think at Disneyland specifically, it would have been changed already, I'm guessing, to not have that vibe.
Yeah. Probably.
Disney World, all bets are off. But Disneyland, I think it would have been changed. I love, you said Tony Baxter's always up on the plots of land, and he still obviously was when we interviewed him two years ago.
He implied all these zones, and was he implying the weird stuff they're thinking about now?
That's what I have a
every parcel of land, every parking lot.
Did we talk about that already?
Park?
Probably we did. But
we might have made that connection.
There's the Disney expansion loose plans that we don't even know what the status of that.
Well, I got to know. Disneyland Forward, I signed up for every possible email, like update on it, that anyone could do, but they were like mainly eyeing like Anaheim residents. And it was like, update on Disneyland Forward. We have an exciting presentation. I was like, ooh, yeah, here we go. And it was just that. We're going to do a digital screening of the first episode of a show we call The Imagineering Story. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, you just like log into this like Zoom or this live chat to watch the first episode of a show that you have on your streaming service and probably upload it to YouTube for free or something? Like, what? What is this?
Anaheim hasn't voted. Real quick, the Disneyland Forward thing is they put out this big like hypothetical map of a major expansion of both Disneyland and California Adventure. But basically, they were just putting it together to tell Anaheim, just give us blanket approval to make whatever we want on the land we own. So it can be a hotel, it can be a ride, it can be whatever we want.
Yeah, like they own the land, they can kind of do whatever they want, but they need to get the zoning tweaked.
Yes, exactly, because they don't have necessarily, this parts next to the hotel aren't zoned for a theme park yet, so they just want Anaheim to sign off on all of it. But they haven't even voted on that, right?
I don't think so. And it also, like, those were real blue sky plan, because a little insane where it's like, okay, so it were both parks would now wrap around the Disneyland Hotel. Mm-hmm. There'd be bridges going over the roads, and like here there was little doodles, but if you squint, like, it's just like, is that Avatar, is that Wakanda?
I love it
rides everywhere.
I love
confusing
it too.
Confusing mishmash. Why is there a hotel sticking out of the middle of a theme park?
Mm-hmm.
So it's certainly it's new. I've never considered this, but it's also like, oh, okay.
Are you saying you don't think it's going to happen?
Well, no, I think it'll happen in some form. But if they did everything in that concept art, it's like, this is the most densely.
Well, didn't they say it was like, we'll complete all this by like 2050 or something? Wasn't it like some crazy long timeline?
It was probably like at least a 10 or 20 year plan. Because there was also like, we're going to build Disney Springs on top of a parking lot.
Right. And we got very excited at the idea of Gideon's being built.
Oh, sure. And Jock Lindsay's and everything.
So now you're excited about possibly a bakery that might be closer to where you live, but still a big drive where then you go and wait in a 2-hour line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Perhaps longer.
Thrilled.
In like 18 years at least.
When I'm in my late 60s, I'm going to be so excited to wait in a line.
When I will be at a point where they're like, you really should not be eating these cookies. Your body does not agree with this.
Mr. Sheridan, you cannot go to this Gideon's one more time. Your next Gideon's will kill you.
Your doctor is calling you over and over again. I know where you are. I heard about where you are. There's a surveillance thing now. There's a weird doctor surveillance. Yeah.
Someone is scanning the line daily now.
There's like a futuristic helicopter trying to get Jason too. The doctor has sent like a retrieval helicopter to get him from the Gideon's line. Jason has our laser gun shooting at the it's the far future, folks. So
it's the far future.
He's shooting at the doctor's helicopter.
So now you have to get deployed as in a Seinfeld-esque manner where Kramer can't go to the
the
grocery store anymore.
Well, right, because they're not So it's like in the future, you have to have a certain like blood glucose level or like blood pressure to be able to purchase cookies. That's how the future is. So Jason's is off the charts. Mine is still a little more manageable at the time.
Nightmare. That's the future Michelle Obama wants.
Exactly.
I will not eat your healthy snacks. And don't you teach my kids that.
Right. So I have to go purchase them. Now, generally, the future, they monitor you eating. You have to, when you purchase it, it ties it to your social security number.
Mm.
And then the sort of implants you have in your stomach, it registers to make sure that's the food you're eating. But Jason and I have to figure some way out. I have to like regurgitate the cookie into his mouth.
Taking a very Blade Runner William Gibson as
this is a sci-fi universe.
This is the future tour.
This is the future. This is when Disney has completed their Disneyland Forward. So
Mike's 300-page graphic novel Gideon's 2062
that ends with me throwing up some cookies into Jason's mouth in our older age.
Mike is
it's like beautiful. It is like people are reading the graphic novel thing like, I don't know where this is going, but the artwork is so good. This could be the next Dune. This looks fantastic. And then they get to the last page and it's blah. Is this about two older men exchanging ground up?
Look, this is what Joe Rogan is warning us against. That's all I'm saying. This is what he's daily warning us against. This cookie regurgitation scenario.
Anything left? I have just a little maybe one thing to mention about Dumbo is the as we talked about, we did an episode about the Skyway a while back, and the Skyway buckets being among the most desirable auction items.
Yeah, yeah.
And probably maybe number one again could be you know, could be neck and neck with Mad Tea Party having a teacup, but I don't know. It probably is Dumbo. I would think the one that you'd most want to own.
I think so.
Person, would,
yeah. So $30,000 mentioned for.
I mean, a long time
an old
ago.
One, yeah, an old, at this point, a long time ago.
I looked up the most at least recent, at least that I'm aware of, big public sale of a Dumbo, which is that that's from Disneyland Gallery where we did a show with old Richard Kraft, who we know. Richard Kraft, I think in the early 90s, before his agent career had taken off, so he did not have the money to do this. Mm. He had to, like, he was at an auction knowing what his cap was and went way past the cap, bought a Dumbo for $35,000, kept going higher and higher and higher with a bidder on a phone who was rumored to possibly be Michael Jackson. Kraft stuck it out. He got it. Years later, does the gallery in the Abandoned Sports Authority, sets the price at $150,000, ends up going for $483,000
from a
$35,000 lord. And that is one item that was sold at that.
Do we know who bought it?
I don't think
yeah, we don't know.
No,
mystery
no, no.
buyer. Michael Jackson from beyond the grave, maybe.
Ghost Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
He celebrated by doing the Thriller dance.
Mm-hmm.
We do know that John Stamos owns one, the other major Disney collector. This was I think also from the those specials that they were doing.
Yeah.
Where in early Zoom years, that's correct. Yes, early pandemic, yeah. Zoom years. So big celebrities would make a point, I think, of like, let me choose the most plain room in my house to do this thing and pretend that I'm a normal human being. John Stamos is on a Disney special. He's like, I'm going to show the elephant. I got to show off that I got an elephant. And if you had an elephant, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. I wonder how much could you get like a Nick Offerman to build that for you or something like. Maybe not even a non-celeb. Like, how much could you actually just have somebody fabricate one? $10,000? Could
fiberglass?
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's a tough thing.
$20,000,
I think.
Yeah, maybe that's too tough.
It's pretty specialized.
But then, isn't some of the appeal
that? Oh, well, of course, the money.
Then it was there. Like, this was in the park.
Yeah, for sure it is. I'm just saying, like, if you wanted to at least have the vibe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You could still get it for a normal crazy amount of money, not an insane crazy amount of money.
Mm-hmm. If you're a fiberglass artisan,
yeah,
on a big scale, let us know. If you do giant fiberglass sculptures.
How many fiberglass artisans are there in the audience? Because maybe there are.
So, are there podcasts for you? Are there podcasts that are all about sculpting fiberglass?
That's interesting. That's brings up an interesting thing, because we've talked about like what piece we would want to own from the parks. But if the option was just have somebody build one for us, that would be a hell of a lot cheaper. And it's like, if you could have somebody build you an original Rex.
Yeah.
Like, that would cost 1/20th of the.
I guess I don't need to know that it was actually from the parks.
Yeah.
But it'd have to be so good, though, right?
Sure.
I worry you'd be able to tell. It's got to be just perfectly.
Yeah. I mean, we met on the last 80s night Lindsay and I went to. We got to take a photo up close with Rex.
Mm-hmm.
Very exciting.
Yeah, bragging again.
Yeah. Wow. So sorry. Sometimes I have to drop the names.
I have a couple things as we wrap up. The one big historical anecdote I kept saying about this ride was that Harry Truman, when visiting the park, refused to ride this ride, as the elephant is a symbol of the Republican Party.
Mm.
He was a Democrat. Took a stand, would not ride the elephant ride. Dropped 2 atomic bombs on Japan, but he took a stand on this one.
That could sully his whole legacy.
It could sully his whole legacy.
The man who bombed cities in a horrific way.
There was also the Disney Parks blog, which it used to update a lot more. In the 2010s, had like an anniversary post about Dumbo, and I just saw this very funny comment on it. Dumbo ride is certainly a favorite. We are Disneyland regulars. About 15 years ago, my then 3-year-old nephew was so excited to choose his Dumbo that he didn't see another child run into him, accidentally bumping him into the water of the ride. Oh. Fortunately, a good Samaritan jumped the fence and fished Martin out by his collar. Thanks go out to that man and everyone else who saved the day. Every time we pass the Dumbo ride now, we recall how nice everyone was that day.
Oh,
now, geez. A couple things going on there. One, that's about a foot of water under that ride. And two, man, if you're going to hop the fence, get in the water. Why are you fishing him out like a stray cat? Why are you picking him up by the collar?
Yeah, you can grab, though.
Just grabbing the kid, like, come here. You like, grab him by the scruff.
I'm going fishing.
Yeah, wow. I've never seen anything like that happen.
No, that's pretty dramatic. Did I say on the podcast that I saw a kid lose a tooth on the Incredicoaster?
I don't think so.
This is very dramatic. I was there solo a couple months ago, and I was in the single rider line, so I was on like the other side, and not where you normally load from. But so I'm watching people get off, and there is a kid just like screaming bloody murder, and like clearly bleeding from the mouth. It was really like, what happened here? Oh my god! And then it turned out it was a tooth miss. And watching a dad go and scramble and like, Hulk, stop, and like they wouldn't let them let the train go because like we have to find the tooth.
So you were waiting to launch.
I wasn't on the ride yet.
Okay.
I was waiting to be called up to go on the elevator and go around. Mm-hmm. And I'm watching this very dramatic situation unfold. Oh, wow. I watched the mother be called. It's like, oh no. Ah, it was like, boy, there was a height for 5 minutes. Like, this is one of the craziest Disneyland scenarios I've ever seen.
You know, there are little plays that happen all during the day. Especially when you're an older gentleman going alone.
Mm-hmm. Nothing to do but watch. When you don't have to watch your own.
I did almost the exact same solo Disney day last year, back when things were a little better, where I think I went to California Adventure. I drank a beer. I went on Incredicoaster. I did some work on my computer. I went back to the Marvel area. Drank a beer as well. Went to Guardians and then went home. Mm-hmm. Just sort of chilled out and did a little work. But I saw the craziest child crying and their parents trying to force them to go on Tower of the Guardians Tower.
No.
And I've seen this happen a couple times, but never this dramatic. And what you're saying, like, this was just a scene. And it was the same thing where you were like, what am I watching here? This child is going to lose their mind. Mm-hmm. And these parents are not allowing this child to get out of this. And an employee had to come up and tell them, like, you can just switch. You can do a child switch, basically. And they had to be talked into it. They
even
refused
that was
it.
Not, they, no, we need you.
I couldn't believe this. This child was melting down. And as a child who didn't melt down but wanted to, as like, you know, and melted down recently in a escape room situation, I felt for the kid. But like, it happens a lot when you're, especially with not with anyone, where you're just noticing like this something scary playing out. Basically,
this is crazy.
Yeah.
How dare they should be taken away. Disney should have taken the kid away.
Well, I felt like being like, you should.
This kid is the property of the Disney company. Hey, kid, now.
You want to get out of here? I'm not to live with me. I'm just saying, I'll help with the situation because these parents are being assholes.
I also can't. Look, I'm new to this, and I'm new to tantrum. Tantrums are very new for my kid in the last month or so. We're heading to the 2-year-old mm-hmm. point. It's just they make it so unpleasant when. You're trying to get them to do something that they don't want to do. That so far it has been like, oh, come on, you want to? Okay, all right, screw it. Here, give them the thing you want.
Right.
So take them out of here. We have about like it's a one exchange. We got about 5 seconds in us before we just relent.
Yeah,
it's hard for me to imagine you are going to go up. You're getting in the tower that lightning is hitting. That's full of ghosts and screams.
Yeah, it's like Pat Bennett, hit me with your best shot. It's gonna play loudly.
Yeah,
and traumatize
right,
this child.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a less scary one, but that doesn't make it.
You're gonna go up into this tower and appreciate some loud classic rock.
That's how it is.
Now look, I can get behind that logic, but
yeah,
if it was like Pinocchio or something, okay, yes, I go like, oh, the kid probably won't be so scared.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, yeah. And you know, oh, this is a kid who gets a little scared and then like is okay on the ride. That's a phenomenon. But that was not the case with this child.
Yeah.
This child was crying at 100 from the time we got loaded into the numbers. And I was like, no, what do we, what? Please. And like employees negotiating with the parents. And maybe they didn't understand what they were talking about. I don't know. But it was like, and they had like two, there were two parents, there were a couple kids. So it was like, one of the parents cannot go on it. Mm-hmm. I hate being that like adult being like, you don't need to go on this. You're an adult. And then be like, well, what's your problem, pal? Who are you with? I'm alone.
Yeah.
I'm just doing some work down here.
Yeah. It's a little hard to like pull a child screaming that much. Of like, all right, let's do the halt method. You know, are you hungry, angry, lonely, or tired? Which is it, pal? You know,
the kid could talk also. It was not a 2-year-old.
No, but I mean, Scott, you can take some comfort in the fact that they call it the terrific twos, right?
Oh yeah. Oh boy.
That's the universal term applied.
They call it. That's true.
Yeah, I can't wait. Yeah. From recent implications, it'll be a terrific year. Anything else before we go out? I've got a little. I've just got some photos of some dignitaries who've been on the attraction. But Mike, were you heading somewhere?
I was just gonna say, did it ever? And I think it did a little bit bother me as a kid. Did you ever think about it that you're inside the animal and not on top of it?
Ah. Hmm. Yeah, so what happened here? Was he, like, a big chunk was carved out of him?
Yeah, I'm not saying it was like, oh, I was so preoccupied with it as a kid. I was not. But it was a little bit like, oh, we should be on top of Dumbo, not inside Dumbo.
Mm. Well, the ride doesn't necessarily hold up under a narrative microscope.
No.
That might be true.
No. And I guess it should be like, they should have built something on top of Dumbo for you to sit in. But mm-hmm. that would have made it a bit heavier. So I understand why we're just like sitting in a hollowed out carcass of Dumbo.
Dumbo and his 15 brothers have all been strapped to poles and scraped of
their internal organs,
but not their brain, so uh-huh. they can still understand what's happening to them. Anyway, get there's inside
future,
him.
There's future technology that has condensed their entire body into a tiny little ball, and it can be held in their neck now. So Dumbo is alive, okay, because this is the future.
Everything he needs is packed into his head.
Exactly. Yes. This is the future, so they've condensed it, and now he can still be happy. He loves it, but he is connected to a big rod, and you can sit inside where his organs used to be. But he likes it. He loves it.
He's got a big smile on his face, don't you see?
Yeah.
Now, and but depending on where you're going on this ride, his mouse friend is holding a whip. In some places, it's not a whip anymore. It became a feather. But if there is a whip, don't worry. The mouse is small and the whip is smaller. So, and they're friendly. He's probably not going to use it.
Yeah.
The whip is just there as a reminder to not
pleasurable.
It's, you know, you expect, it's a symbol of like, oh, animals in circus. It's not practical, though, but it needs to communicate something. Mm-hmm. So
it's either it's soft or he'll use it softly, I assume.
He just like drapes it and rubs it. That's,
don't worry about Dumbo and his clones.
Yes, it's the future and he's been cloned.
Oh, this is a dark. This is a dark ride.
It is a dark ride.
Really, really quick. Just I was like, this has got to be fun pictures of people you wouldn't expect.
Oh, right,
going on Dumbo. Here's the most interesting ones I've found. Here's old Kevin Costner, and this is kind of where, you know, again, you're a sitting duck when you're on that ride. The celebrities can sneak in and out of Disneyland rides, but there people are gonna see ya. I mean, some of these are posed photos,
right?
But that's I also read that's some of the appeal of I think Walt talked to a carnival person, a guy who did a park called Kiddyland that used to be where the Beverly Center is now.
Yes.
And his thing was the rides should advertise themselves, you know, like if you have a ride where there's people on display having a good time, that's going to make people want to go have a good time. And so again, just the photo op and the tableau I think is important with this ride. So look, Costner's having a great time, but Christian Bale's having a good time. We're gonna see him at Disneyland, right? Like he's not a cameo machine. It's nice to see him out of it.
But has been part of the Disney family before.
Newsy, yes indeed.
Yeah. He's coming back. He's in that new Thor.
I didn't know that. Tim Tebow was Tebow.
Oh, sure.
Right. There's Chicago Mayor Richard Daley. What's the deal with Richard Daley? Is he a good guy?
They're all like corrupt.
Oh, yeah.
They're
all like sure, corrupt. Yeah. it's a mixed bag. Here in the early 80s, Michael Jackson on the Dumbo attraction. And then some 30 years later, Dr. Conrad Murray, the man.
What? Jesus Christ.
Ultimately involved in death. I don't know. I think this might have been. It's credited to some. This might have been a paparazzi situation. I don't think that Conrad Murray proudly brought a private photographer. I think he was getting out his last couple jollies because 6 months later he was convicted. Oh,
okay, so it's after the thing.
I think trial was going on.
Oh my God.
He would be in jail within 6 months of this photograph.
That's really bizarre.
Isn't that a real, time goes round and round. And
I was wondering who does Scott have in here? Cause he's going to have a really good one that I don't know.
It's going to be her. Is it
our favorite stars
from Kevin Costner to Conrad Murray.
I would not have bet that. Wow.
Kissinger and Ted Kaczynski in the same car. Who would have thought? The same element.
So look around you the next time you're on Dumbo. You never know if you'll spot one of the greatest pop stars of all time or a man who will be responsible for the demise of one of the greatest pop
stars. Gee whiz. Gee whiz. What an end to the Dumbo episode.
Yeah, so hey, on the note of Dr. Conrad Murray... It's a weird photo, too. Like, I don't know.
How can it not be a weird photo?
Yeah.
What is a normal photograph of this doctor convicted of manslaughter? On that note, you survived the first podcast, The Ride of 2022. Mm-hmm. More fun to come, more criminally convicted doctors to come, probably. That's what we're okay. Yeah, more Conrad Murray talk, more Brian Setzer talk. How can we get you salivating for what else is to come this year?
Yeah. I want to say that I bought a package of hot dogs, Jason.
Nice.
First time in other than when we tried to make the Ronto wraps. Although I didn't buy a hot dog, there was like a sausage, but I thought of Jason. I went, you know what? I this is my every couple of years. I buy hot dogs as often as I go on Dumbo.
Wow.
And okay. I did buy, they were like Boar's Head.
Oh, that's they're in the hot dog game? That's a name you can trust.
Yeah. They're in the hot dog game. So I did do that.
What, did anything particularly inspire you?
It was one of those situations where I was hungry. And for some reason, I was doing stuff I just don't normally do. I don't normally buy ice cream. I bought ice cream. Maybe it's because of the world. I don't know what's affecting me exactly, but I think
this big break we've had. I think you're craving Jason.
That might
be
it.
Suddenly you're buying Jason's shopping list.
I got ice cream. I got hot dogs. Maybe I haven't. Yeah, I haven't heard Jason talk in a while. So that's it.
Oh, I missed you too. I went back east to see family and immediately put on 5 pounds eating. Eating
immediately,
yeah,
like the first day,
the holidays, yeah,
yeah.
Jason missed Mike so much he bought 20 expensive Ninja Turtles
and ate them.
There's your pounds right there.
It is. I have been racking my brain for the last few days because Marvel has a deal right now where they're unlimited per the Marvel Unlimited, where you get digital access to a bunch of comics.
You get that Shadow Cat figure.
You get a welcome kit. And I was like, okay, it's marked down to 70 for the year subscription, and you get this welcome kit. Could I did a very Mike math of like, if I get it, could I flip the welcome kit for $70 and get this?
The answer is yes, you can.
Probably, yeah.
The answer is yeah, probably. But it is a cool Kitty Pryde action figure.
It is cool, but I have some complaints, but we'll see.
Well, there's a more traditional Kitty Pryde from Excalibur toy that just came out that I do have as well.
Oh, I like that. Yeah.
She's got the more blue outfit, not the kind of normal X-Men outfit.
Yeah.
Okay, if you want to stay up to speed on
all of our, probably less me, but in the collective we's purchases of Marvel figures and hot dogs, then follow us on the socials at Podcast The Ride. Merch is available in our T Public store. And for 3 bonus episodes every month, check out Podcast The Ride, The Second Gate at patreon.com/podcastTheRide. Again, most pressing, go there now. Meet our new friend, Jay Bigga. really excited. If you were not on The Second Gate, I would hate for you to miss out.
Yeah, the audience, yeah, for $5 a month, you can get 3 extra episodes and the whole back catalog. We don't usually give the hard sell on it, but I would say that the audience seemed like they really enjoyed the last Patreon episode with the big reveal at the end. So if you're ever thinking about trying it out, you can try it out and you get the new ones and you get the old, a whole year's, multi-year worth back catalog.
If the tease of a horny white rapper from 2004 does anything for you.
Yeah. Just like my bow tie spun. If you want to see my bow tie and our bow ties spin from content, explicit content, please go there.
And of course, Mike's extra detailed, amazing quality graphic novel, Gideon's 2062, hitting bookshelves soon. Lots to look forward to.
Yeah.
See you in the future.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Forever. Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Mike Carlson, Jason Sheridan, Scott Gardner, Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.